Hi, and welcome to a late night edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you a few hours after an awesome 5-3 win against the Cleveland Guardians in Cleveland on the road. Can't beat it. Can't beat taking down a first place team on a Friday night, not in your own ballpark. Rangers, of course, have not been very good on the road at all. To see them go into Progressive Field tonight and get a dub, get their, second straight win in a row, I'll take it. And Nate Eovaldi, he came to pitch tonight. It looked a little rough early on. Wasn't sure if Evo was going to be the guy tonight that he's capable of being, giving up the three early runs. Of course, Evo kind of still perhaps shaking off a little bit of the injury that he sustained a couple of weeks back. Of course, you might remember he was not skipped totally in the rotation, but given a few extra days recovery time. Evo also really going for that innings limit, or innings marker, I should say, that he has that allows him to have a $20 million player option. I think it's pretty safe to say Nate Eovaldi is going to be able to get paid in the offseason regardless, but it's nice to have options, literally and figuratively. And Nate Eovaldi continues to pitch his way into a nice payday in the offseason. I'm very interested to see what happens with that contract, by the way. But more on that in a little bit. Let me go ahead and give y'all the usual spiel here. Of course, here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers, and especially the Rangers during baseball season. Appreciate you choosing us for your Rangers content. A lot of different options out there, but thank you for choosing Right on Rangers. We're going to cover everything here, post-game analysis, go through the box score, talk about some of the key moments in the game, highlight some big individual performances. Appreciate y'all tuning in late night. It was a crazy night for me. Definitely one of those busy ones where the day just gets away from you, and it was a great night. Spent a lot of time with the family tonight. But wanted to get on live here before the day was done. Tomorrow, quick turnaround. I think the game actually is at about the same time, if I'm not mistaken. But nevertheless, quick turnaround. But we're here. We got to relish these wins too, don't we? That's another thing. You know, they get blown out tonight, 10-0. It's late. I might be thinking twice. But I got to get on after these wins. We got to enjoy these, y'all. We've had a tough season. So anytime the Rangers knock off a top-rated first-place team, clearly a playoff team, you got to relish these. So let's do just that here in a second. Let me get to some comments. Aaron, what's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you. Aaron says, what's going on? How about Evo with 105 pitches through six innings? Only let in three. Quality start for Nate Eovaldi. Yeah, I got to say, it did look like Evo was really having to grind it in out there. I really, really thought that it might be a rough start for him. Of course, Evo gives up three runs in the first four innings, and you're kind of saying to yourself, is this going to be one of those starts where Evo kind of gets knocked around a little bit? And we've seen a few of those this year. Of course, we've seen a lot of him just absolutely dominating, but we've seen a few starts where Evo gets knocked around. So, Aaron, I'm with you. I kind of had a little nervous feeling there for a second, but to see Evo battle in that fifth inning, then he went out for the sixth inning again and had a shutdown inning. I think that was really, really impressive. And then the Rangers bullpen took over from there. Of course, after Evo goes out, you have Chafin coming in, two Ks. Robertson did allow the two walks, but Robertson, no hits allowed, two Ks. And then Kirby Yates, old reliable, comes on in, slams the door shut. Kirby Yates with his 23rd save and 24 chances, 1.28 ERA on the season. Rangers bullpen, when you can hand off the lead to them, we've said this so often, when you can hand off a lead to the Rangers bullpen, it's almost money in the bank. This team does not blow a lot of leads when they have it in the eighth inning and the ninth inning. It's been rare this year. So I felt very, very good, especially when you got that RBI double from Doley in the top of the seventh. Hasn't that been kind of a missing ingredient this year for our Rangers? Just the inability to get that insurance run, to be able to score late. I just love that Adolis Garcia gets that big knock in the top of the seventh. Look, even in a one-run game, I'm feeling pretty good about the Rangers' chances, but I will say getting that little two-run gap instead of having that one-run game just made you feel even more so like it was going to be a lockdown performance from the bullpen late. So I absolutely loved what I saw from the pitching staff tonight. This is how it's supposed to go. Rangers, the formula, for them winning in 2024, build an early lead. Check. Score first if you can. Check. Get a really good start from the starting pitcher. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then hand it off to an awesome bullpen, particularly David Robertson and Yates. This is the recipe. I mean, I know that what I just named out, what I just listed out isn't rocket science. We're not reinventing the wheel here. But there are teams that can win in a variety of ways. There are teams that can get down three runs early, come back and win 7-8-3. The Rangers just this year are built to play from ahead. It's kind of like in football, honestly. There are some teams that are just built to get an early lead, run the ball, run out the clock, win the game. And then there are some teams where it just doesn't matter. They will beat you from behind, from ahead. They will keep their foot on the gas and just blow you out when they get ahead. They can play the slow game. We're heating up to football season here in a second, y'all. But the Rangers this year, they do seem somewhat one-dimensional in the way that they can win ball games. And I do think this was a very prototypical Rangers victory. And I was very glad to see it on a Friday night. You just did not really know, at least I didn't. I really didn't know what to completely expect out of this series. And for me, to see them go out and get this win, now you have two chances to get the series dub. I mean, what more can you ask for? I'm going to look into the pitching previews for the rest of the two games. I think Cody Bradford goes tomorrow off the top of my head. I would absolutely love to see Cody Bradford take game two and the Rangers go ahead and win a series quickly in Cleveland. That would be phenomenal. And I am with Aaron. Aaron said earlier, I had his comment up. It's down now, but Astros lose tonight. And look, we're not scoreboard watching big time at this point, but of course we want to see how the other teams in the West are doing. Anytime you see the Astros with an L and then the Rangers get the dub, it's a beautiful thing and it's a great night to be a Rangers fan anytime that happens. So let me keep going with comments here. I just want to say appreciate y'all. I see a lot of people tuning in kind of off and on. I know it's late, but we're going after it, man. We have got to enjoy these Rangers wins. I know it's like, what, 12:40 in Texas, still about 10:40, a little early out here, my time early, I guess. But I appreciate y'all hanging out. We'll try and get on a little bit earlier tomorrow if we can. But busy, busy weekend for me. But we're still coming at y'all, hanging out, talking Rangers ball. It's what we love doing. Let me go to some comments. Natalie, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. Natalie says, have they said anything new on Carter? Is he still going to be able to avoid surgery? Have not heard a whole lot on Carter. I think they're pretty much resigned to the fact that he's not going to be back this season. And I do think when they made that determination, a big thing that they wanted to try and avoid was surgery. The reality is when you get surgery on your back, I can only tell y'all just personal experiences with different people in my life, friends, family that have done the back surgery thing. It can be a very risky proposition. You get one back surgery and it can set off just a number of different reoccurring issues and then lead to more surgeries. They really do say, I remember actually my grandpa before he passed away a few years ago, he essentially told my dad who was going through some back issues of his own, like, do anything you can to avoid surgery on your back if at all possible, because you just see so many people get back surgery and it just doesn't always fix things. So my hope is that he can avoid it altogether and that the shutdown will allow them to just heal things naturally without having to go under the knife and do something a little bit more drastic. We'll see, though. I can imagine they are going to hold off for as long as possible and just hope that with rest and with continued rehab and all of those recovery options that they have at the training facility, I hope that they're able to get him back to 100 by spring training next year so he has a chance to be a big contributor for the team. Gio, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. Late night. Appreciate you, brother. Rangers win, and they've got a 0.5% chance to make the playoffs. I love it. Hey, we doubled our odds, y'all, from like three nights ago. Three nights ago, we were at 0.2% chance, just saying. We like just doubled our odds right now. Let's go. Let's go. So the Rangers, not completely out of it yet. I mean, look, we're having some fun. We know it's a long shot, but could the Rangers make something happen? Just make things interesting, play spoiler along the way? I really, really think that they do have the potential to make that happen. And we talked about this, if they can make it past the Guardians. And when I say make it past the Guardians, what I'm talking about is if they can get a series win. And I'm checking out some comments here on TikTok. I know I haven't haven't bumped over here much, y'all, so I'm going to try and see if I missed anything. But if they can get past the Guardians, they're hopping over to play the White Sox here in a second. And look, I'm not saying take the White Sox for granted. I'm not saying that those are easy wins. But what I am saying is the road gets a little bit easier after this Guardian series. It just does. The road gets a little bit easier. And you could see the Rangers bringing together some wins. At least I can. Although you guys know I'm a little bit of an eternal optimist. I do absolutely call things out exactly like I see them. But I choose to be positive even when it's tough. And I think I've done that pretty consistently this season. At least I've tried to. But I just feel that if the Rangers can get past this weekend series, hopefully win one of the next two games, you're in a situation where you've got some favorable matchups coming up. We all know baseball is extremely tough, one of the toughest sports. Even the worst team in MLB can knock off the best team on any given night, depending on the matchups. But let's look at the series upcoming for the Rangers. You've got White Sox, and then you've got Oakland. White Sox on the road, off day on Monday. Then you've got Oakland at home. You've got Yankees at home. That will be a tough series. Yankees, of course, very, very good. Aaron Judge trying to break his own record in the American League. 62 homers, wherever he's at, 63, whatever the record is. But you do have New York after Oakland, so you got White Sox, Oakland, back-to-back after Cleveland. You play a little weekday series with New York, and then you play the Angels, four-game set at home, Ron Washington returning to Arlington. Then you've got Arizona on the road and Seattle on the road. Arizona, those two games will be tough. Arizona's a good team. You know they're going to be hungry to knock off the Rangers. After Seattle, we come back home, three-game set with Toronto, followed by a three-game set with Seattle. Then you've got Oakland on the road and LA on the road to end the season. So really, as I look at this, two of those series legitimately make me fearful. New York and Arizona. I think Oakland, LA, Seattle, Toronto, Seattle, Oakland, LA again. I mean, look, could the Rangers lose any of those series? 100%. But are those series winnable for the Rangers? I think so. And you imagine that DeGrom is probably going to be back for that Seattle series in Seattle. That would be September 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th. I think just the way that the projections are working, that is around when he's going to come back. So maybe he makes his debut in Arizona or Seattle. I think that's kind of what the timeline is right now. We'll see what happens. Anything could happen. I don't know if I'm calling Rangers comeback miracle October run, but I am saying I think they have a very good chance to finish the season strong. I would like to see them finish over 500. I think that would be a really, really cool goal to achieve considering where they're at. Finishing over 500, I think, would be absolutely huge at this point. Now, let's get into some of the individual moments. And I'm checking out some of the comments here. And John, I'm glad you kind of beat me to this one, man. What's up, by the way? Thanks for tuning in, even though it is very, very late night here. But we're hanging out. We're getting it done. That Leody AB was so huge because wasn't that looking like just a total quintessential Rangers blow it, right? And by the way, if you don't know what we're talking about, we're talking the top of the second inning. So let's rewind it to the top of the second, kind of run through it here. Nate Lowe, who had an outstanding night, three hit. I do want to pat myself on the back a little bit. In our reel that we put out before the game, we did say Nate Lowe, big performance tonight. For whatever reason, he hits Bibee really well. Of course, Bibee was the starter for the Guardians tonight. He was 3 for 8 coming into this game against Bibee. And what do you know? He gets three knocks. So Nate Lowe, leading the Rangers in hits tonight with three. I think Corey Seager, obviously, you could point out his performance tonight, one of the top performances. Doley, the insurance run, the double in the seventh, huge as well. Josh Smith had a nice night, but let's go to the top of the second. Nate Lowe single, Josh Young double to lead off the inning. So you've got second and third, and you've got nobody out. So what could go wrong, right? What could go wrong with the Rangers in 2024 with runners on second and third and nobody out? So Wyatt Langford pops out to the third baseman. Of course, exactly what you don't want to do. And with Wyatt in that moment, this is something we've talked about so much. With Wyatt in that moment, what you want to see is a simplistic approach. Take what they're giving you. Don't try to do too much. Yes, you want to drive the ball to the outfield if you can, get that sack fly. But honestly, a ground ball right side, I don't think that they had the infield pulled in. I honestly can't remember, y'all. If you guys do remember, if they had infield pulled in the top of the second, I don't think that they did. Even if they did, ground ball right side. Scorch it through the right side and make the defense work in some way, shape, or form. Langford popping out to third base, that is exactly what you don't want to do. I know a bunch of y'all have just totally begrudged the pop-outs this year. Not fly-outs, the pop-outs to the infield. How many times have we seen a shallow pop-out to shortstop, third base, second base, first base in foul territory? The pop-outs have been ridiculous this year. If Aaron was around, I'd ask him if he wouldn't mind doing a deep dive for us. How many pop-outs have the Rangers had this year to an infielder? And what is their ranking on the leaderboard with all of Major League Baseball? Like, it feels like it's much worse than it probably is, but the Wyatt Langford pop-out with nobody out, runners on second and third, just not ideal. And then Jonah Heim. You know, Heim has had a decent run of things of late. I know in the three spot the other night, he had a couple of knocks. But you go down quickly, 0-2, two swinging strikes. You know, the first pitch, high fastball, middle in, you can't catch up. Second pitch, middle out fastball, a little high, you whiff again, foul ball on a pitch way above the zone. You take ball one, and then you take called strike three on a changeup that did hit the inside corner. I mean, look, it's a pitcher's pitch on the black. You're not going to do anything with that pitch. But Jonah Heim gets rung up, two outs quickly. And then up comes Leody. And look, I have been a huge Leody detractor at times. You guys know this. Mostly with truth, with stats. I mean, they are what they are with Leody at times. All you have to do is look at his numbers. But right now, I think we need to do the same thing. Let's look at Leody's numbers. By the way, before we do that, what really impressed me about the at-bat is Leody works a full count. Right, ball one, then he swung and missed on a slider that was pretty much right down the middle. You take ball two and ball three, so it's a 3-1 count. Missed another slider right down the middle. And I got to tell you, John, if you're still hanging out, when he missed that second slider that was pretty much right down the middle, I just had zero confidence it was going to work out well. And then he gets a slider outside corner, back door, and he is able to take it to right field. Which, look, any way you get it done, not necessarily ideal. You want to try and pull a pitch like that, a slider back door on the outside corner. But look, Leody got the job done. 74 mile an hour, little soft pop fly, whatever you want to call it, fly ball to right field. It gets the job done. But Leody, that was absolutely huge. Scored two runs. Who knows how different this game would be if Leody would not have got that hit. But instead, you go up 2-0. Then you get Marcus Semien working a nice walk on 8 pitches. I mean, that was a great at-bat for Marcus Semien. You consider that Simi was down 1-2 in the count. It was a 1-2 count. Simi's down, and he works an 8-pitch walk to get Corey Seager up. And that's another thing. I've talked about this. It's been a while. Marcus Semien with 2 outs. It is so pivotal that Marcus Semien gets on base, finds a way to not leave Corey Seager in the on-deck circle with 2 outs. You have got to find a way to get Seags up to the plate with 2 outs and an opportunity to drive runners in. And Marcus Semien does exactly that by working the 8-pitch walk. And then Corey Seager comes up big with a 2-out RBI double, 2-1 count. He's able to get a slider on the inside corner. I was really impressed with how he was able to turn on that pitch. That is just not an easy pitch to hit. Slider inside corner, and he turns on it. Fly ball, right field, Semi scores. Of course, Leody scored. Seager sitting on second base at the end of it all. And that was a big moment to bust the game wide open. Another thing that we have gotten on the Rangers about, you can't get the big hit. You can't bust the game wide open. I feel like 4-0 in the top of the second is busting it wide open. And thanks to Leody, thanks to Marcus, Seager is able to come up and have a big moment there in the top of the second to give the Rangers an extended lead. Big, big moment there. So, John, glad you brought it up. Glad you beat me to it. Yeah, I feel like it's at least getting to double digits almost every game with the pop-ups. It's an approach thing. I kind of went off on this a little bit about a week ago. I think really it comes down to approach. So what I mean by that is, instead of simplifying the approach at times, ground ball right side, hit the ball into the ground in certain moments, productive outs, move guys station to station. You have a lot of Rangers guys that are just trying to get that big hit. And I do think a part of that is coaching. And I think the Rangers coaches on the hitting side, I don't have insider information here, but just as I've watched the team, it's just my perspective. It feels like they are constantly trying to get that big hit, to hit the ball in the air. And they are a team that is built to get the big hit. I would not say they're a great team going station to station, producing even when they get out a small ball. I would not say that's their forte. Their forte is getting the ball in the air and hopefully finding a gap or the seats. That is how this team is built right now. Do they have a few guys that can play small ball? 100% they do. Do they have a lot? No. I would like to see them next year move a little bit more towards a balanced lineup, one that has big boppers that can hit the homers, hit the balls in the gap, but also the guys that can go station to station and aren't so reliant on the extra base hit. And so I would say the pop-ups come as a direct result of that. You've got a lineup right now that has been constructed to hit those balls in the seats and in the gaps. And so you've got a lot of guys trying to get that launch angle, and it's not working out great. They're getting under the ball. They're popping it up. You don't have a lot of guys trying to keep it simple, hit the ball on the ground with runners on second and third and nobody out. I don't know. Maybe it was just the way I grew up with my coaches, and I had a lot of great baseball coaches growing up, really at all levels, I feel like. I mean, maybe it's rose-colored glasses, but I feel like I did. And so many of my coaches, you get into that second and third, nobody out, and you're kind of a bottom-of-the-order hitter, right? And this isn't Corey Seager up with second and third, nobody out. If Corey Seager's up, if your best hitter's up, of course you're saying swing away. But, you know, I kind of hit in my time playing, maybe in one of those top spots, maybe leadoff, maybe second. I hit at the bottom of the order plenty of years too. And when you're hitting at the bottom of the order, when you're hitting, you know, in that 1-2 spot at times, you're just trying to move guys. You're trying to keep the defense on its toes, and you are trying your best to make them work for everything. And so with runners on second and third and nobody out, bottom of the order hitter, or even middle to bottom, ground ball right side, get the run in any way you can. Don't leave it up to chance. Is the ball going to be shallow or deep enough to get that runner from third home on the sacrifice? Hit a ground ball right side and drive in the run. I mean, just keep it simple. And you know what? Most of the time, too, I found you hit the ball or try to hit the ball into the ground and you end up getting a line drive. So many times in BP, even in games, working on that, you'd work on ground ball right side and you would just try to have that downward movement with your bat to the baseball. And so many times I feel like I'd end up hitting a line drive right side and it'd end up being a great hit, no pop-ups, or I'd hit it hard into the ground and you advance the runners. And I think I wish that the Rangers would have more of an ability to do those little kinds of things in these moments where you've got bottom of the order hitters up and you just need to get runs on the board. All right, I don't want to go off forever on that. Let me keep scrolling back up. I kind of was skipping around on comments. Natalie says, I know Langford didn't have the best game tonight, but only one Ranger has more RBI since he's come back. Look, Langford obviously has made a lot of big contributions. He did have 3 strikeouts tonight. He has had several big walk-off moments. It's very impressive, some of the poise that he's shown in some big moments in some of these games over the past month. By and large, Langford has struggled over his last 30 games. I've told y'all the stats. It's not great. Wyatt Langford, last 30, hitting .209. It used to be under .200, so at least he's getting it up over the Mendoza line. But Langford, past 30 games, 10 RBI. Look, I'm not sure. I think there may be, Natalie, another Ranger that has more than 10 RBI in his last 30 games. I mean, I could be wrong. I'm going to try and look at a few other guys' stats, but I feel like there's probably some guys on the team in the last 30 games that have more than 10 RBI. Marcus Semien has 10 over his last 30. Corey Seager, his last 30 games, he has 22. So I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to with since he's come back, but I think there's some other guys that probably have more RBI than he does at this point over the last 30 games. Seager, and I think there's probably maybe one other guy. I don't know. I'm not sure who it would be. Surprisingly, Leody actually has some pretty good numbers over his last 30 games. I know over his last 7, he was one of the better Rangers hitters. Leody actually has more RBI than Langford over his last 30. Leody's got 13 over his last 30 games to Langford's 10. So, yeah, maybe clarify that one a little bit. But it seems like there might be a few other guys that have had more RBI than Langford down the stretch. Since he came back from the hamstring injury. So we're going like way back to like May or June, right? Okay, that one I'd have to do a little bit of a deeper dive on. You might be right on that one. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find that on the fly. But, you know, look, he's definitely dipped a little bit of late. Definitely. But you know what? I'm counting on that from him. I think at this point, Wyatt Langford is going to have ups and downs. He's going to have great moments like Boston's two outs down to your friggin' last strike or whatever it was. Maybe it was a 2-1 count. I don't know. Who cares? Let's go with last strike. Hitting the 3-run bomb over the Green Monster. I mean, that's what he's capable of. But you're going to have those lumps with rookies. I mean, there's exceptions. No doubt there's exceptions. But I'm fully expecting Wyatt Langford to have some ups and downs the rest of the season. John, I agree. Chapin, 2 strikeouts tonight. Absolutely filthy. Look, he was looking rough there. I mean, he went to New York. Soto and Judge went back-to-back on him. And that kind of started like a weird 3-game rough patch. And then after that, he's kind of come back and started lighting it up again. So I agree. Chafin, I mean, look, we got a club option on Chafin next year. I'm sure they're going to exercise it. I think that was really a part of the play to get him at the deadline, knowing that you would have him next year if you wanted him. And I think that the Rangers are going to be a very competitive team in 2025, despite what some fans may be saying based on their strong feelings in reaction to how the club did this year. But I think the Rangers are going to have a great 2025. I really do feel like they're going to be competitive. I think they're going to go out and get some different guys in free agency. Not saying it's going to be a big splash, but I think they're going to find ways to retool. And of course, they've got a good solid base. They've got Seager, Semien. They've got some guys in the starting rotation, of course, some horses. DeGrom should be fully healthy. Evo hopefully will be back. You've also got Cody Bradford. You got John Gray. You've got a lot of things to look forward to in 2025. Baseball Network, if still around, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. Hope you have a great night as well. We'll try and go a little bit earlier tomorrow if we can. I know this is a late night, but I appreciate you stopping by. If you can hang out for a little while longer, do so or catch us on the replay. But thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate the support. Let me keep going. We have just a few other things in the box score that I think are worth reviewing. We talked about Josh Smith, 2-for-5 tonight. Really glad to see Josh Smith getting back on track. We actually talked the other night on the live about potentially considering, hey, do we need to platoon Josh Smith? The numbers have been pretty ugly in his last stretch of games. And you look at him right now for Josh, over his last 7 games, 241. Last 15 games, 206. Last 30, 207. So Josh has struggled a little bit. I mean, look, over the last 7, 240, not terrible, but for a 3-hole hitter, you want 3-hole hitting a little better than 240 average, 290 OBP. It's not pretty right now for Josh Smith. Glad to see him bounce back, have a nice night up at the plate, contributing a couple of singles, I believe. And of course, we keep moving down. Dolley, we talked about his big hit in the 7th inning. And in the 7th inning, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that a 2-out? Was that a 2-out RBI as well? I believe it was. So really, when you think about it, the Rangers scored all of their runs tonight with 2 outs. Very clutch. Very unlike what the Rangers have done most of this season. But all of the RBI come with 2-out tonight. Gotta love that. Because there have been so many moments with 2 outs this season where you are just waiting for that big clutch hit, somebody to step up and get it, and it just never comes. So to get all of the RBI with 2 outs tonight, Leodis came with 2, Siegs came with 2, Dolies came with 2. I love it. I think that's got to be one of the big stories of the game. You consider the stats with runners in scoring position, not great, actually, 2-for-9. They left 7 on base, the Rangers did. So, look, they could have probably made this one a little bit less of a nail-biter, but, look, they get the win. That's really all that matters. Nate Lowe, we talked about him going 3-for-4. Josh Jung goes 1-for-4. The double in the top of the 2nd inning. Look, I really hope that we can get that guy in a groove and going strong to end 2024. I've said that's got to be one of the mindsets and one of the main goals this year, guys. You've got kind of a very unlikely shot to make the playoffs. Let's just see this team finish strong going into the 2025 season. Let's see DeGrom finish strong, Evo. Let's see some of the bats like Dolie finish strong and go into 2025 with some confidence. Then you look to do some tweaks to the roster here and there. I think CY is going to do a good job of getting some bang for his buck like he did in the past offseason. Maybe they make a little surprise splash. Who knows? But I really, really would like to see the Rangers finish on a really high note, whether they make the playoffs or not. I think we all need to cheer for that. Yes, we want to see some guys get some opportunities in September, but I would like to see, nonetheless, a lot of the guys that have kind of been kicking the can all season long, maybe doing worse than that, just absolutely sucking. I'd like to see some of those guys finish on a good note in 2024. Now, just going through the rest, we went through Langford. Heim, 0 for 4, tough night for him. Did have that big strikeout in the second inning. Fortunately, Leody comes up behind the Heim strikeout with the two-out clutch, two RBI single. And that kind of rounds out the box score for us tonight, at least offensively. Leody did have a steal tonight as well. Josh Smith was caught stealing. So good to see the Rangers active on the base paths. I did say a couple nights ago, that is something I'd really like to see them try and improve going into 2025. I'd like to see them be more aggressive. The leading team in Major League Baseball in steals is the Washington Nationals. They have like over 100 more steals than the Rangers do. Obviously, they get caught stealing more than we do too, but I'd like to see the Rangers be more aggressive on the base path next year. So to see them moving a little bit tonight, I enjoyed it. Maybe just a little thing in the game, but I like seeing it when the Rangers are active. Corey Seager with a little error on a throw. Look, we know Seager has had a little bit of an up and down season defensively. He has made some really good plays out there, but there's been some head scratchers. And I really do feel like the Rangers probably have some better defensive options at shortstop. I think Ornelas is probably a better shortstop than Corey Seager is at this point. Josh Smith, I don't know. I feel he's pretty neck and neck defensively with Seager. I don't know how Walcott stacks up against Siegs, but I do think, like we've talked about on the show, eventually Corey will probably go to play first base, or maybe we'll do a little bit more DHing as his career continues to get onto the back nine and into the back nine. So I feel that Corey is eventually probably going to make that move, maybe in 2-3 years. I do feel like there are some guys with better range out there, with a better arm, better movement, athleticism. I'm not saying Corey sucks out there at shortstop. Don't get me wrong. Don't get it twisted. But I do think that the Rangers probably do have some better options defensively than Siegs. He has had a number of errors this year. I don't know what the total is. I think that was his 8th error of the season, according to the box score. Not super ideal. I mean, look, maybe 8 doesn't seem that big in the grand scheme of things over the course of 129 games. But nevertheless, it just feels like beyond the errors, if you take away those 8 errors and just look at other things, you know, the plays that go off the glove, the plays that he just misses, that he's not leaving his feet for, all of those don't show up in the box score. I just feel like eventually they probably are going to have to make some kind of move to get Corey Seager out of that shortstop position. Clearly, he's the best hitter you have and one of the best hitters in the game. We're not trying to throw shade on Siegs by any means, but I do feel like defensively the Rangers would probably be wise to not move guys that are coming up in the minors out of that shortstop position. I don't know how Corey feels about a potential move like that, but I do think that it would probably benefit the club long-term if he were to move to first base or to a primary DH role. We'll see what they decide to do. Obviously, they're not going to be doing any kind of talking about that organizationally, publicly right now. But just something to note, something to think about. Let me keep going here. Natalie comment says, have they said when Leiter will make his start back up with the big club? I'm thinking Leiter and Rocker will be part of the rotation next year. So I think that with Leiter, you're going to see him in September when the rosters expand and the September call-ups happen. I do think he will get an opportunity. He will get a shot then. They've already kind of said they want to get his feet wet in the bullpen, really acclimate him to MLB. And then from there, you probably go into the offseason with the mindset that you give him a chance to start games in spring training, just like he did this past spring training, and you see how he does. I think that with Kumar Rocker, you probably are going to see him possibly get a spring training invite, but then start in the minors. I don't know what he would have to do in order to get a spot in the starting rotation on opening day. I would say that's probably a long shot, but it wouldn't surprise me if Kumar Rocker was starting games for the Rangers at some point next season. But I would be really surprised, not because I doubt his ability or, you know, I'm a Kumar Rocker hater, but just kind of thinking about the progression. He is coming off an injury. Yes, he's had a lot of success in AA, but I do think you've got to see how he responds in AAA and then how he responds in spring training. I do think you also have to look at the fact that the Rangers have a plethora of starting pitching options. So right now, again, just to go through, you've got DeGrom, you've got Cody Bradford, you've got Evo most likely, you've got John Gray, you've got Tyler Mahle. You're going to probably see them pick up some other veteran long relief spot starter type guys. So I do think that it's going to be tough for Rocker to break it out of spring training on the opening day. But if he kills it in AAA, has an amazing spring training, you might just see him crack the roster. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but I would be surprised. I would be surprised. Now, y'all, it's about that time for us to go ahead and take a look at the matchup for tomorrow. If you got anything that you want to talk about from the game tonight that we didn't cover or any other questions Rangers-wise that you just want to throw my way, I'll be happy to circle around back to it after we do a little preview of tomorrow's game. Off the top of my head, I think I told y'all Cody Bradford, I believe, was scheduled to get the start as of the off day, which was Thursday. So I believe that is still accurate. Cody Bradford going for the Rangers tomorrow. And then on the other side, it's John Gray. Sorry, excuse me. John Gray tomorrow. So let's see here. Did they bump Cody back to Sunday? I thought I saw Cody was supposed to go on Saturday. Looks like they bumped Cody back to Sunday. So John Gray will pitch tomorrow. And John Gray is going to be throwing against Lively, it looks like. Lively 10-8 with a 3.68 ERA. In Lively's last three games, let's see what he's done. Let's see, 6 innings, 2 earned runs, so quality start against the Brewers last time out. 3 2/3, 3 earned runs against the Cubs before that, and then against Arizona, 5 innings pitched, 4 earned runs. He has accumulated 10 walks over his last 3 starts, so susceptible to the free base allowed. Maybe the Rangers can take advantage of that, although we know they're a very aggressive team. But Lively, I would say a little up and down over his last 3 starts. Over his last 7 games, he does have a 3.86 ERA, 2-4 record, 27 strikeouts and 37 innings pitched. So that tells me he is a guy that does produce a lot of contact. Clearly, he's still able to get outs despite that contact. But let's see if any Rangers have ABs against him and if there are any patterns worth calling out here. So we'll do the opposing lineup. We'll do the Cleveland Guardians lineup against John Gray as well. But let's start with the Rangers against Lively, the Guardian starter. So as we go down the list here, a couple notables. I think the biggest one is going to be Nate Lowe and Corey Seager, each with a home run off Lively in their careers, each 1-for-3 with a solo shot. Then you look at Adolis Garcia, also identical, 1-for-3 with a homer. You have Jankowski 1-for-2. You also have Marcus Semien 0-for-5. Josh Smith 0-for-3. Leody 0-for-1. So the big notables, Garcia, Lowe, Seager, all 1-for-3 against Lively in their careers with a solo home run. And on the other side, big names to watch out for. Naylor, Josh Naylor, the first baseman. He is 5-for-15 with a home run off John Gray. You also have, Freeman, center fielder, 1-for-3. You've got Ramirez, actually 1-for-11 against John Gray. Surprised to see that from Jose Ramirez. And then Lane Thomas is 0-for-2. They're not really a whole lot else notable beyond that. Looks like there's one other guy that has a home run. It's really nothing crazy, though, if we're being honest. It's kind of a small sample size on both sides, but a few guys that do have those home runs off each opposing pitcher in their careers, we'll see what happens there. We'll see. You know, it can sometimes go both ways. The pitcher sometimes can come out, have a super dominant start, and sometimes the pattern that you see in these career matchups continues on. So anyways, Jimenez, by the way, was the other one with the home run in the Guardians lineup against John Gray. So look, we'll see what happens tomorrow. John Gray, just to give you his stats over his last 7 games, 5.84 ERA. John Gray over his last 7 hasn't been great, although, you know, he did come out against the White Sox in July, 7 2/3, 1 earned run. You also saw him against Pittsburgh, throw two innings, look pretty good. He did give up one earned run on a ball that kind of ate up Corey Seager. But I think over his last three outings, actually, let's go two outings, it's been pretty solid. So we'll see. He had a little bit of injury time in between there, but hopefully John Gray can come out, give the Rangers a quality start tomorrow, just like Evo did. That's got to be the plan. So as we look forward to tomorrow as well, again, a 3:10, actually 4:10 start for me out here in Vegas, 6:10 Texas time start. We'll see what time we go live, maybe right after the game, maybe during the game, maybe a little bit later on in the evening. Like I said, y'all have to bear with me. A little bit of a crazy weekend for me, but we're going to see if we can't get you a little post-game analysis after every game this weekend and into next week. Little off day on Monday. So the Rangers, two off days in the last 4 or 5 days. I'm sure that's nice for the boys, but hopefully the Rangers can play spoiler, maybe make things interesting in the division race down the stretch. I think that's got to be the plan for right now. Walcott, Natalie says, could grow quite a bit more. And if he does, I hope he doesn't have the same problems as Siegs. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, Seager is definitely a big body for shortstops. I think Siegs in his career has played a very good shortstop. I think that he by no means is like subpar or sucks at the position. I do think as he continues to age, you are probably going to see the Rangers phase him out. And then maybe a guy like Walcott does step up and become that guy at shortstop position. We'll have to see. We'll have to see. I think we are going to skip our usual headline, MLB headlines of the day run through that we do at the end of the show. But if anybody is curious about the standings and where the Rangers are at, we got the FanGraphs 0.5% chance to make the playoffs. Rangers are 5 games behind the Mariners, 9.5 behind the Astros for first place, 11.5 games out of the wild card. That's where things stand for right now. And beyond that, y'all, we're going to look forward to hopefully another Rangers dub and a series win with John Gray on the mound, Cody Bradford going on Sunday. Hopefully it can just be a killer weekend up in Cleveland for the Rangers. Man, would that be a shot in the arm to go play a first place team and take 2 out of 3 in their ballpark. You got to love that, especially after how the Rangers have been playing over the past month or so. This is a much welcome sight. Much welcome. Well, all right, y'all. I'm going to call it a night. I hope you guys have a great rest of your Friday night, whatever's left of it, and hope you have a good weekend ahead. If you're not following the channel, if you're not subscribed to the account, please do so. You know someone who loves the Rangers. You know someone who loves baseball. Please share my account with them, share my channel with them, or tell them about one of my videos. Send it their way. I would be very, very grateful. And of course, y'all know I've been plugging this over the past couple of weeks, but with football season approaching, I will be going live after every Longhorns and Cowboys game as well. Here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas. That includes the Longhorns, the Cowboys, the Rangers, the Dallas Mavericks. Those are the core four right there. So hope you'll join us in football season as well. And as I always say, to end every show, God bless and go Rangers.